Hello, good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. I am Stacey Sherman Kapczynski, and I am the host of Who Are the Spiritualists? We look at modern-day spiritualists who are continuing to pave the way for the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism. And you can hear us here on Lilydale Assembly or Lilydale Radio. We are excited for this month's spiritualist. We have my friend, which will become your friend, hence the word our friend, Darren Ford. And he is from the Spirit Center of America. And we'll hear all about that and more as we come together for this evening. So sit back, relax, enjoy this conversation. Again, if you are watching this on the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page, this is a recorded interview, but you are welcome to leave comments or questions that we can touch base on or watch ourselves. We kind of keep up on that and try to answer and keep those questions going. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. Hi, Darren. Welcome. Welcome.
Hi, Stacy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Thanks, Darren. Can I say that Darren and I go way back?
Way back, before the COVID, way back.
Yeah, pre-COVID, right? Is that how we're defining time these days?
Think so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Darren, I know that you are a spiritualist, hence why you're on the show. But tell me how you came into finding spiritualism.
So I think I came through spiritualism as a lot of people that I've talked to have, which I think is more through the metaphysical world. Reiki, I got started in Reiki in 98. Friend of mine were just meditating and kind of reading books on meditation and getting pretty deep into meditation. So his mom took us aside and said, "If you guys are getting this deep in it, I'm going to train you in something to kind of help and guide you." And so that was Reiki. That really started to open up the floodgates for me. There's so much in Reiki that you start learning. And then when I moved back to Bloomington Normal, which I found my third degree teacher, and we started to do group Reiki. And then she started to bring in channeling and doing other things like that. And that was my first, I would say, real experience of recognition of, I know I felt spirit and things as I was a child, right? But never really communication came up for me. But while working on her, I just felt this really strong presence come from me, and I was working up on her head. And just that day, she asked me to work on this part of her. So I just felt the strong spirit come in. And I mean, I was getting flushed. I was almost like, I can't handle this. And I just heard, "Relax, you're here for a reason." And as soon as I said, "Okay," and I felt my body relax, she started to say, "Oh, Queen Yan is here, and I have a message for you." And it was just like, to hold on at doing Reiki, I was just like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna back up. What was that?" And so it was like, okay, that's an experience. But then I felt a second spirit come in, and this one I felt more of a scientist male. And again, just heard, "You're here for a reason, relax." And I relaxed. And she said, "Oh, there's someone else here to give a message." And I was just like ready to hands off and back up, but I just kept going. Like I was glued. I couldn't let go at that time. So that I would almost say like that was the door that opened for me, and I was like, "Okay, I'm ready to start understanding more."
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And you know, it's so interesting how I mean, first of all, Reiki, very familiar with it now, but it was really, I mean, how, I don't know. I feel like, so just putting it out there to our listeners, we're Midwesterners, right? Like if you can't tell from our accent or anything like that, you know, but so we're not always hip to the hip things, you know, we always tend to get them a little bit later. But you said 1998, that's, you know, that's kind of new-ish time period, you know, it wasn't such a
Word about.
used word.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't something that was on my radar, to be honest with you.
Yeah, very
But
cool.
after the attunement, it was just a light bulb went off, and it was like, oh, that's why my hands have been hot my whole life, right? Girlfriends would just stop holding my hand and going, your hand's so hot, I can't hold your hand. And it's just now understanding that connection to energy that I had.
Yeah. And so then you, I'm assuming with all of that, you know, that was pretty intense, like hearing, you know, clairaudiently or clairvoyantly seeing, hearing, like, well, I have messages to give these messages. So then you came into or found modern spiritualism?
Yep. There's a church in Leroy, Illinois.
Okay.
The church. And so again, they just, people talked about it. They talked about doing circles and, you know, just, hey, if you're ever interested, you're right. They just kept planting little seeds. So finally my wife and I, went to the Leroy church, and when we stepped in, it was, oh, you know, everything they're saying is, you know, zoning with what we're thinking nowadays. So, you know, then, and I don't remember, it was close to 2004 that we started that.
Sure. That's always such a wonderful thing to hear people. Like you hear a lot of spiritualists who either find a camp, a church, a community, whatever it is. Like you just kind of, it's like it's always been there, but yet it seems like it was waiting for you to enter. And then you enter and it's like, wow, it's like the missing link, right? Between the two chains, parts of the chain. Very cool. So when you came into spiritualism, then when you know, started going to churches or unfoldment circles or whatever that you might have done through your experience, was there any aha moments like those, like that just kind of clicked?
There's still aha moments where it clicks, right?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember any one particular one there, except for I just kept feeling like I'm being pushed to do more and to be part of this, right? Not to just sit in the pews, because they had the nice wooden hard pews there, and just listen. They asked me to start doing lyceums, and again, it just, more and more people just kept going, well, you should do this, you can do this if you're interested. And you know, they do healings during service. So that was probably the first thing I ever did, right? Was that. And then the aha moments of seeing these people that you're only working on for a couple minutes walk away and then come to you later. And again, just, oh my gosh, you know, what, I was getting this and this. And, you know, your guides are always kind of giving you little bits of information about it. And so when they give that back, you know, then that's the spirit and the physical, you know, coming to you, and you're going, okay, you know, a lot of aha moments like that throughout it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, you were one of the aha moments for me when you started the circles. And again, I brought up COVID because that's how you and I really got to know each other, was,
yeah,
it brought the community doing this more, and realizing that even distance doesn't matter for us, right? And
yeah,
that aha moment of, okay, well, you know, we can make bigger connections than who's just around us too.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, a couple things that, you know, Darren is talking about, again, just kind of bringing up Lyceum, which you may have heard of or may not have heard of, is actually something you'll hear a lot in the spiritualist kind of movement, of basically just educational classes, right? Where we get to have someone come in and teach something about maybe the knowledge that they have, not just for children, adults too. I mean, there's children's lyceum, there's adult lyceum, but when you hear the word lyceum, that's what we mean, is these, you know, these moments either before or after services, or sometimes stand alone, depending on, you know, the community or church that you are with, that just kind of, you know, have somebody come in and teach about something in the spiritualist, science, philosophy, or religion, you know, aspect, and share in that teaching to help educate us. Cause, well, like we never master anything, not in this lifetime, right?
Yeah. And during those lyceums, it's a great discussion because, you know, it's open for people to talk about their experience, just like having this conversation,
yeah,
you know, and those aha moments come when that conversation happens. So it's not just, okay, let's read the book and let's, you know, go through page by page and say what we should or shouldn't do. It's a conversation on, on what we think from what we've learned throughout our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we continue to learn, and what we continue to learn too from spirit. I mean, I was thinking back, you bring up those, you know, those COVID days. That was quite a test of time, right? And but when we would have those, like, let's talk mediumship classes or whatever, and just hearing everybody with their opinions, their ideas, their inspirations that either came from their guides or themselves, or, you know, it doesn't really matter, but to be able to share in that is quite amazing. So that, you know, we were just speaking about the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism. Is there one that you kind of lean, Darren, towards, or, you know, that you might find yourself a little more intrigued with, or what's your opinion on that?
So really, really all of them, but, you know, I would probably say philosophy is, you know, comes forward more, because I love talking about the whys, the whats, the wheres, you know, deep diving. And that's, then science follows right behind it, because you need to understand, you know, the process of science to really get past just the questioning. You know, so for me, there's, you know, sometimes I feel like that little kid. It's like, why? And to be honest, I think that's what drew me even more to spiritualism, was being able to ask those questions. And then someone saying, you know what, I don't know, but let's talk about it and try to find out. So, you know, the whys just keep coming. And after a while, it's understanding you won't get that answer of why, but you might be shown something. To me, that's like that little piece of the puzzle, right? There's they'll give a hint when you're ready for that hint. And by they, I mean, you know, spirit. You know, our guides, whoever and wherever it comes from, you'll get a message from somebody, and you're like, oh, okay, there's the answer. But you have to also learn how to listen as much as ask the questions.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably philosophy, and then science comes right behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I love the philosophy. I love the question of why. And again, you're not asking the question to seek an answer. You're asking the question to seek a perspective. And I mean, aren't there millions of perspective out there? So again, I don't think we'll ever cap off all of the different perspectives.
Yeah. And I find more as when someone does come to me almost as that minister, right? They want to listen, that I don't hear answers for them. I hear questions. And more times I've asked someone a question about something they're talking about, and they just look at me and go, well, fine, you know, yes, that's the answer. And I went, I asked a question, I didn't ask you an answer. So what did you hear at that moment? Because that's your answer. And that's what I love about my guides and spirit, is instead of saying what to tell them, because how many times do we, you know, hear something we should do, but, you know, we veer from it, even though we hear it. So I feel coming from a question sounds like it comes from internal, and something is heard differently. So that's where the questioning for me also comes into play. I love questions. And if someone asks me a question, right, it's that challenge. And I think what also you were talking about, it feels like her brain, whatever, something expands when the right question is asked, or, you know, and it's not the same question over and over again, right? That just kind of becomes emotion. But when something, a new question comes in, it's almost like an expanse somewhere happened.
Absolutely. And, you know, just another thing too, that Darren's touching on, that I think is important, at least from my perspective, and maybe, you know, Darren will chime in on what his perspective is too, is, you know, sometimes as spiritualists and the spiritualist movement, one of the most important things of mediumship is to prove that continuity of life. But that being said, mediumship's a gigantuan umbrella. So it's not always just bringing across somebody's deceased loved one, but it is also being in contact with our guides. You know, we all have them, regardless if you've met yours or not. You know, we all have that higher intelligence. an understanding that is available for us. And I know that I have learned a lot myself. Not that I don't love hearing from my grandparents or my loved ones in the spirit world, because I do. Hi, Nana. Hi, little grandma. Like, love you guys and love that they're able to communicate me. But a lot of my perspective, or like you said, was it brain expansion or whatever, mind expansion, has come from more of the philosophical, like the guide inspiration, messages, presence. Yeah. Do you find that true for yourself?
You definitely do. And then, you know, let's just talk about grandparents, right? None of your grandparents are the same, right? It's not like, oh, I got advice from my grandma and it's like I can pick either one. No, our ancestry goes back to so many different opinions, and all of this meshing together for a reason. Yeah. And that's the thing about spiritualism I also love, is it always feels like, instead of turning to the world is ending and life is, you know, too hard, it's more of what can we find that makes us relatable, but what can we find that we can learn from each other?
Yeah.
And it's, again, that expanse and that growing, not just, you know, there's one answer and let's just keep following that answer and, you know, slamming into a brick wall because we felt like we can't get past that answer. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and back like what you were saying, ancestors on the spiritual side, we have pioneers on the physical side, right? Like we come from or continue to carry the torch of the spiritualist movement on the backs of many, many pioneers before us, right? And there'll be many, many people after us too. I mean, you know, spirit willing, that's what I'm always hoping for. That being said, is there any one particular pioneer that might have has inspired you, or is there any direction you like to kind of...
I mean, I can reach over here and grab my MPI folder that I still read out of. Who probably Davis.
Yeah.
I think he probably has related the most with me as I was reading and going through things, and possibly even had conversations, you know, spiritual conversations directly with him.
Yeah.
You know, that's still, and you know, I can talk about that, like, skeptic brain, right? That's all still in me. So, but I feel as if I touched in when reading Andrew Davis, I'll say his book too. As I was reading his books, I almost felt as if he was talking to me, and understanding his life. So in The Magic Staff, you know, at first reading the book was like, okay, this is just more, you know, about his life. I don't want to read about his life. I want to read about what he learned. And then it was just, you know, oh, okay, all right. I had to know that to know this, right? And it just started to unfold. And it's such a wonderful book. So probably a lot of connection with him, you know, and again, questioning and coming from another part, I think, with him I related to was, in school, never felt like I could learn correctly, right? My brother was an A student, my sister was fairly good, and I barely made it along. But, you know, I kept hearing that my IQ was higher than theirs, but I couldn't. And I'm like, okay, I just learned differently. And then I went to a special counselor, and I felt like he was one of the first people who listened to me. And he worked a lot with children with disabilities. And, you know, for me, I snuck past a lot of school. And that's where I don't see it as disabilities. I see it as, again, us as a spiritualist thinking, okay, did I sign a contract? Why have I chosen, or someone around me chosen, to be disabled? To have something to us that seems like they have to work harder to get something that I get. But to understand that, again, just flipped my way of thinking around of, oh, they're choosing to be here because they want to learn something on a level that we haven't even conceptualized yet. So he turned that. So the magic staff was also talking about that, right? He came from no money, had a hard time learning, couldn't read, and then all of a sudden all of this started to come alive while his gifts were also coming more to the surface.
So and you know, Andrew Jackson Davis, if I remember correctly, and I mean, one of my favorites too, because my most favorite philosophical thought discussion is, you know, under all circumstances, keep an even mind, because my poor human brain cannot understand the concept of what even is. I literally talk about it 100 million times in my head, you know, like, and what it is. But he's also, if I remember correctly, and you had even said yourself, like my skeptic brain, he was kind of a skeptic in all of this too. He wasn't all just like, oh, I surrender. He was like, why is this happening? What is it? And he really kind of dug into that, don't you think?
Yeah, it's almost one of those where you have to dig into it to be able to let go.
Yeah.
It's great if someone can get past the fear and just let go and be able to channel or do something of that nature. But again, I don't usually see that as the purpose. There's an understanding before the able to let go for it to happen. Is there? Now, there are a lot of stories of others where, oh, this just happened to me, and that's how they explain it. So there's a total opposite side to that coin. But
yeah,
again, the one I associate more with is, again, miracles just isn't a thing. There's reasons for that, and there's growth before and after, you know, when those moments happen.
Yeah. Oh, how awesome. How awesome is that? So speaking of reading and books and the magic staff, which again, to some of our listeners, you might have tried to read the magic staff and then you put it down, or you might have to, it's not necessary, again, the time period, right? So it's not necessary, but I'm telling you, if you can dedicate to it, you know, really dedicate to it. I remember, I think I had it up and down, read, shut, perused until I finally got through it, you know. But is there any other books that you recommend that you might recommend at all? Like, and anyone who is on this, their spiritual or spiritualist journey?
I would have to look all those up. That's some of them I didn't do.
There's so many. There are so many. I think you've already said your favorite one. Like, you know, obviously with the magic staff, that's huge.
And another one I associated with, and again, I can't think of who the writer is, but she's talking about walkthroughs or walk-ins.
Oh, right? Okay.
That can go a whole different direction. So, I mean, there's so many out there that I think are relatable to spiritualism, but not necessarily will say that, you know, they're spiritualists, but
yeah,
you know, they're dealing in the realm of not only mediumship, but also, you know, who are we as the physical, and the bigger questions of, you know, we talk about what happens after death, and I feel like now spirit has talked about that we continue on and there's more to us. But what happened before we came here, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What were we part of? Because
yeah,
anything never dies, it just changes form, right?
So yep, there it is. There it is.
And what were we before this? So talking about walk-ins and stuff like that, to me, also relates to it. But again, I, off the top of my head, I can't think
right.
of
well, and how that plays a role in our human life, you know, like one of the things, like when I think about like Andrew Jackson Davis, Under All Circumstances, Keep an Even Mind, or when I think about some of the, you know, pioneers or just, you know, the literature and spiritualism, it talks about being, you know, spirit, soul, and human. And, you know, we can be spirit, soul. Well, we are spirit, soul for eternity, but we're only human for this experience. You know, God willing, 80 years, 90 years, and until whatever happens next. So trying to find a balance between, you know, it, being and enjoying this human life, kind of like how you shared with your, you know, your, I don't want to call it a disability. You're, but you know, of learn, you know, high IQ, but you know, the issues of learning. I mean, that's a physical characteristic, but then what can we learn from that, you know, spiritually or soulfully? So it's really kind of finding that, there we go, that balance that even I don't even know.
What's I thought I had it around me, but the Betty book, the
Oh
book,
yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but that
Yeah,
one.
no, you're right. It's called the Betty Book. It's called Betty Book, and oh, it's not by Stewart, but I can't think of the name. But yes, I know exactly what book you're talking about. I can
Oh,
see it in my mind.
because those are talking of understanding of when someone is channeling or someone goes into trance, there's their connection to a person, their battery. So this person helps them get into that. They help protect them. And then they're the ones who are transcribing. So understanding that relationship, that it's not necessarily the medium who are pioneers, but it's also the people who believed these people and recorded it and talked to them and asked the questions, right? So the people writing all of this when someone is in it, because if you're in a trance, a lot of times you have no idea what you said. So those people are also great pioneers to, you know, document it and bring it forward in these books.
Absolutely. Well, Darren, what are things that you're doing now? I mean, we've been in touch, but not haven't been in touch. Tell me where your spiritualist experience right now is going.
Okay, so we started to create the Spiritual Centers of America. We are fully online, and it is spiritualism, but it's more, again, that's why it's spirit centers. We want to tap into more of, again, the metaphysical and get back into what a lot of, you know, spiritualists have been drawn to spiritualism for, and more philosophy. And keep asking, you know, the questions of why. So with that, we have broken it into multiple centers. Instead of just kind of saying this one center and everything follows, it's branches of them, because one person may like the philosophy or the science or the religion or the mediumship or the tarot cards. However it is that you are finding your connection, we want to help make a space for you for that. So throughout the week, there are multiple different ones. The Adult Enrichment Center, which is our Lyceum, is Monday nights. We have some book clubs, so we're trying to bring people in who, you know, are writing books and bringing them in so they can talk a little bit, you know, further on that. Wednesday nights is our Healing Center, and then it's once every other week. And then the weeks in between that is our mediumship center. So we dedicate a whole 45 minutes to being able to give spirit readings
Wow.
instead of just the, you know, times, 15 to 20 minutes during service. And then later on that night is our what's normally, you know, known as the church, the, you know, however you want to look at it. But it's more about inspirational talking and messages. And we got, I think, really cool music. There's some of my favorite that we've now put in there. So, breaking away a little bit from traditional. We're
Sure.
still trying to figure out, you know, what do the hymns still mean to us, and, you know, can we refresh those into something more? But right now, we're finding just a lot of newer music that is, again, making those connections, trying to really expand. One of the things where I am dedicated to, I don't have children. My wife and I have chose, you know, work on our careers. So for me, it's always, okay, how can I make connections? Because, you know, I have a good connection to kids, I think, because I don't have that, oh, you have to be in this kind of box, and I let them come to my energy instead of my energy trying to overrun it. So what does spiritualism mean to the current generation? Not just coming and telling them who we are and how this should be, we want to make space and listen, right?
Yeah.
Why have you chosen to be here on this earth? Because we all need to learn from it instead of just going, oh, these kids don't understand what we had to go through in the 80s and the 90s. It's more, okay, what is it you're going through? And
Yeah.
can I be here for you?
Yeah. That's amazing. You know, and that's too, like, I think, you know, I can't remember where or who, or I can't remember, but I do remember hearing something really profound that moved me. And the fact of, in all of the lifetimes, right, in all of the time here on the earth, we have the most generations living, because, you know, life expectancy is longer, you know, people are having kids at a younger age, you know, there's just many, many reasons, right? But we have so many generations living all at the same time that, you know, I think it's important, like what you said, to, you know, allow each generation their time, who they are. And I think to attract younger people, because that's always one of the questions, right? And how do we attract younger people, like in our churches, in our camps, in our communities? You know, it's how do you attract? How do you attract? And you have to acknowledge the generational differences, and how they learn, how they react, how they respond. And you're only going to find that out by listening to them.
Yeah,
profound, Darren. That's really profound. It's great.
How can we say we're listening to spirit when we're only listening to those who pass over to the other side?
Yeah.
It's throughout everything and throughout, as you're saying, all the generations. So, yeah, you just have to listen to so many things. That's, I think, the hardest thing, especially in this modern age. And that's something I think spirit really taught us, because you have to start meditating and you have to go inward.
Yeah.
That's the hardest place to listen to, is going inward.
Well, and don't you find too, now I watch out, folks. Here I go on my soapbox, going off script. So I'm trying to make sure my words make it through my head before they come out my mouth. But, you know, Darren, I think you and I, at least in our experience, and if I'm not speaking for you, please voice your, you know, voice it. But we're kind of young. You know, when we look at the organizations that we kind of grew up in and we're part of, we're the young ones, right? Or we're kind of the younger ones, right? Not that we're the youngest. We're not claiming any of that. But, you know, you're making a very good point in the essence of, you know, the younger generations. You know, I look at my teenagers, I look at my sisters in their 30s, you know, and then there's me, I'm still in my 40s, I get to claim that, so I'm excited. And I'll own that one for a few more years yet. But, you know, I mean, we really have to figure out ways to practice, because we're busy working on our careers, we're busy, you know, at life. We don't, you know, we don't necessarily have free time to carve out. So we go about our spirituality, our spiritualist practices, probably a different way than those of the past or those that are older, right? Again, I think age is a number. I will make a small disclaimer that, you know, I have met 30-year-olds that I feel like should be 90, and I've met 90-year-olds who I feel are like 30. So really, age is just an energetic vibration. But that being said, don't you think we have to, I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole can we can open up and run down. With that, I kept thinking of, you know, when you were talking about our careers and what does that look like? What does spiritualism look like for us in our careers? Duality is starting to break apart for us who are in that age, but yet understanding that there's a reason why I love doing this. There's a reason why I talk about it. And I shouldn't only do that when the time feels right for me, when I'm meditative, when I'm in a good state. I need to do it when I'm at work. There's reasons someone can come to me, right? Again, the like attracts like, or energy, just, you know, all of that's, it happens. And we have to stop going, well, that's a coincidence, and go, what am I here for? Or why are they here for me? Right? Again, that listening versus, for me, to be able to do this 10 years ago, I would be quiet most of the time and you would do all the talking. Now spirit has just made me calm down and relax, and the experiences I've had, I have to talk about, and I have to, you know, now use my vibration to start that energy out. And that's kind of where, for me, SCOA and spiritualism are changing. Coming up Christian and Catholic, right? That was very much a go out there and talk about Jesus. Well, now that I have the mediumship that I believe Jesus once did, it's now like, oh, I got to be quiet about it. And stop. Like, guide, spirit, stop being quiet about it. Go be that weirdo and enjoy it, right? Throughout a lot of my life, I've heard, oh, Darren, you're weird. In a good way, not to bring me down. Friends, good friends, just talk about, man, you're just weird. And I'm okay with that, because that vibration needs to get out there. And for many years, it was always like, well, I don't quite understand why they mean that I'm weird, right? Because I'm just like them. I'm doing what they're doing, but there's something there that's weird. I'm going, oh, it's because I have a connection through healing, through that energy, through those hot hands of holding hands with somebody, right? It's this connection that I am meant to be here and to do. And one of those aha moments that keeps coming back to me, that back when I was a kid, you know, I was that good altar boy and did what I needed to do and went through the motions and could get it done. But I had feeling when I did it. It wasn't just the motions. I was good at it. And had a couple priests tell me that, you know, hey, you should go to priesthood. You'd be very good at it. And I heard a voice, which now I know was my guides. That's not the right path for you. Go out there and experience the world, go to college, get in trouble, and get yourself back out. You know, went through a major depression in college. It was my senior year. You know, part of it was I didn't know what I was going to do. But at the same time, I knew there was a little bit more out there because of those experiences and people I met and the aha moments throughout college, you know, of the physical things, was also leading to there's just more out there, and just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Oh, well, Darren, that just is like, oh, that just feels good. Like, so in conclusion, just because I know, you know, what you are saying just resonates so much, and people are going to be listening to this, and your story is going to resonate with them. You know, like, we all, like, again, it's the law of vibration, right? All of these different people. Is there a way people can get a hold of you if they're interested in reaching out? Is there anything that you're currently, like, practicing now or anything in case somebody wants to reach out to you?
That's where, you know, spirit's telling me to get back out there. I even stopped doing my Reiki group here in Peoria, Illinois. And I'm going to get back into doing that in, I think, the physical. You know, coming to the SCOA, or if you go to scamerica.org, if it's okay for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To that group. But if you want to follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I am just Darren Ford in Facebook. But on Instagram, I am I Don't Know Me.
I love it. I
haven't changed it yet, you know, because I feel like when I did that, I was definitely kicking my journey up, right? Because if we ask the universe, it will. So they showed me who I was, and I'm so grateful for that. So I still haven't changed that name, but so I don't know
if I would. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
But yeah, I really want to keep doing, I think online for me is working so well. So yeah. I want to connect with people, hopefully to do Reiki groups or circles or start doing that. Now that, you know, winter's coming in, gonna start snuggling down and, you know, start being in my meditation place again and be able to do it. So reach out, you know, just follow us and see what events we got going on.
Great. Well, thank you, Darren, for spending your time with us this evening. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Again, this is Who Are These Spiritualists? And I'm your host, Stacey Sherman Kupchinski. Excited that this is part of the Lilydale Assembly. For those of you who might not be aware, right, one of the oldest, longest spiritualist communities. So you can find us on Facebook, Lilydale Assembly, or on Lilydale Radio, which is blogradio.com. And I have the Who Are These Spiritualists every fourth Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, if you're interested in finding Darren, it's Instagram. I don't know me. I love that. I don't ever want you to change it. SCOA.org is the group. Did I get that right?
SCOAmerica.org.
Oh, SCOAmerica.org if you want to get a hold of Darren. And also myself, you can find me on Facebook, Stacey Sherman, Spiritualist Medium Teacher and Minister, or SpiritualistStacey.com. So thanks all for tuning in. Don't forget, there's many other wonderful hosts that talk all about spiritualism or mediumship or anything spiritual and helping your journey. So make sure to check back often. And we wish you all a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. Thanks for tuning in.